Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, March 5th, 2021. We are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 42, the first full paragraph. Today's readers are Pam M. reading the 12 steps, Joanne L. reading the 12 traditions, and reading the text are Julie E. B., Sherry K. B., and Christina J. The reference numbers for the last two Vision for You meetings for Thursday, March 4th at 10 a.m., the reference number is 16,517 or 16517. And the reference number for this morning's March 5th, 7 a.m. meeting is 16,526 or 16526. And I'd like to mention that our newcomer greeter today will be Betsy H., and announcements will be given at the end of the meeting to us by Janice P.M. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Pam M. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Blessed morning, everyone. This is Pam M. in upstate New York. And the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Pam M. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, Team Friday. And Kathy, thank you so much for your service, and I love being here today. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovered. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. The only requirement for OA membership, number three, is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. In 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L., for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 42, the first full paragraph, and I will ask Julie E.B. to get us started. Welcome, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Two of the members of Alcoholics Anonymous came to see me. They grinned, which I didn't like so much, then asked me if I thought myself alcoholic and if I were really licked this time. I had to concede both propositions. They piled on me heaps of evidence to the effect that an alcoholic mentality, such as I had exhibited in Washington, was a hopeless condition. They cited cases out of their own experience by the dozen. This process snuffed out the last flicker of conviction that I could do the job myself. Well, as someone who is a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety, I really can't identify with this story. because there was a grin, a laugh that my sponsor would use when she's like, oh, what a great opportunity to learn. You know, when they came to see him, what they had done is they had left. When someone came to see me and confronted me and showed me that smile, they had let me look for myself and notice. Now, of course, by then I had noticed the food. But then I thought, you know, oh, I can do this food thing, eating, not eating, whatever it is. But what I needed to be convinced of, again, as someone mentioned this morning, in almost the entire first half of the 164 pages, is that my thinking is broken, that my mentality formed perhaps at an early age, perhaps reinforced over and over again, self-will run riot, that the things I thought were helping me the most were really bringing me down. To be hopeless, I had been working against noticing my hopelessness my entire life. To be lacking in conviction, what would it be if I'm not convicted? But I needed to know that I couldn't do the job myself. And every single day, when I wrap up my 11th step prayer, almost every single day, you know, I use a care and protection prayer, and I talk about complete abandon, being complete, meaning full. And today I say full not of the food and not of self-will. And what does abandon mean? To give up completely, having run my course. So I try and run my course, but the beautiful thing is my higher power today meets me there. So I hope all of you that are trying to do some job yourself today, whether it's the food or some other area of your life, will be able to somehow give up completely, complete abandon, and realize that there is something good to meet you there, even if it's through the voices of those you reach out to on this line. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks for getting us started, Julie E.B. Okay, I'd like to take names of people who want to share. And please remember that if you shared in the last 2 days, that you limit your share and not speak today to give others a chance to share their experiences too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on this meeting, please allow others to share today. Who would like to share today?
Shannon.
Okay, I think I heard Shannon B. That's all I heard so far.
Alexa
what?
F. Alexa S.
Christina J.
Christina J.
Penny
Mo
L.
Peg
G.
L. C.
Mo H.
Mo A.
K. B.
Peg G.
Somebody AB. Who was that?
Peg G.
Oh, Peg G. Sorry, Peg.
That's
and there
okay.
was one after you.
Sherry KB.
Sherry KB. Okay, let's stop there. Great list. So we have Shannon B. Oh, my goodness, I can't read my writing. Somebody F. Who is that? Alexis F. Christina J, Penny LC, Mo H, Peg G, and Sherry KB. Shannon B, please get us started. Press star 1 to unmute.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. This is Shanna C. Initials got a little mumbled. That's okay. And I'm from East Tennessee. And thanks, everybody, for being on the line. And this paragraph, it's me. I didn't like the idea of people grinning at me in my pain. Asked me if I thought myself an alcoholic, if I really licked this time. I know that I had attempted abstinence, doing this program, not to count the multiple times throughout the course of my life from the time I was a young kid, that I truly believed that I was like normal people and could somehow someday control and enjoy my food. Somehow this might not be a thing for me and that I could do it myself, because I actually thought that I was supposed to do that. I didn't know until I got into recovery that I could abandon myself to a power greater than myself, and that he would do for me what I could not do for myself. But what it took is me seeing that I could not. It never occurred to me that I could not for the longest time until fully surrendered September 29th of 2019 to this way of life. Number one, to the fact that I am a compulsive eater. May have a lot of other issues, outside issues, and reasons to be in other fellowships, and I am. But this is real for me. Once I take that first compulsive bite, especially with my alcoholic foods, I cannot stop once I start, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. And I have a mind that tells me, left to my own devices, without that spiritual power as a result of living in these steps and gaining access to a power greater than myself to keep me safe and protected, my mind will tell me, you can control it. And that's the nature of this hopeless condition here. My mind will convince me that I can do this. And it did for many, 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 many years, despite my intentions, despite my own pain, despite the fact that, you know. But anyway, I remember getting on my knees that morning and begging God for help, you know. And you know what? Food plan, no food plan, steps, no steps, whatever I need to do, whatever I need to believe, whatever I need to think, or whatever, God, I can't live this way anymore, and it's going to have to be you helping me. You're going to have to change me, because I'm not going to change unless you change me. And so that was the essence of that desperate cry for help. And lo and behold, I was able to get on a vision for you and reach out to a lady who had shared her talk. And she took me through the steps, and so far I've recovered by God's grace and through this program. I'm grateful to be here. That's all I have.
Thank you, Shannon C. Alexis F., please share with us. Press star 1 to unmute, Alexis.
Yes, this is Alexis F. from New Jersey. Sometimes I think we say the same thing in a different words. Either we're talking about alcoholism, we're talking about compulsive overeating, we're talking about our character defects, or we're talking about it just in different words and semantics. And you know what? I need to hear it over and over again. I need to hear the same message over and over again. In the case of Fred, it doesn't say anything about character defects. It doesn't say anything about him being selfish, resentful, fearful, or dishonest. It just says that he had the mind of a chronic alcoholic. And when the two men came back to him and they grinned, that's exactly what they told him. You have the mind of a chronic alcoholic. And I believe, and I could be wrong, that it was Roland who went to Dr. Young and said, and Dr. Young told him, I can't help you. Only a spiritual experience will help you. You have the mind of a chronic alcoholic, and he felt like the gates of hell had clanged upon him. For me, when I think back, there were times, and it could be my selfishness or it could be just my love of food, but it was my obsession and my powerlessness that led me to eat. And if maybe it was just for that reason, or maybe it was for other reasons. I remember a time when I was going into a psychiatric hospital and my husband took me to an ice cream parlor and I got 3 5-scoop Puff Fudge Nutty Nutties. And I sat there and 3 hot chocolates. And I needed to treat myself, to fortify myself before I could do this again, to go to a hospital again, because I just couldn't bear the thought. And it was emotional more than spiritual or physical. Regardless, it turned into the physical. And the selfishness of doing it in front of my husband, or even doing it behind his back in front of God, that I had done this in front of God, my own selfishness, that I had to have this to turn to what I needed to be a higher power and turn to food instead of God at the time. Now I have character defects that I have to turn over to God all the time. And I say, God, please take these from me because I can't handle them. Or
hi.
I did. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Alexis F. Christina J., please share with us.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. What powerful shares we have already going this morning and in the previous meeting as well. Christina J. from the state of Washington recovered for today by God's grace only. Okay, in the previous paragraph, I love how Fred goes over what happened. He remembers what the AA man prophesied, that if he had an alcoholic mind, the time and place would come and he'd drink again. He poo-pooed the idea of an alcoholic mind then. But after his last horrid debacle, which we just read about, and it takes what it takes, his knowledge, his self-will power, these were actually a detriment to surrender, to the truth about his condition, which for Fred, who was used to controlling everything, handling it all, and being proud of it, this was a crushing blow. He felt like a failure, I'm sure. And that's what it was for me. I can handle it all. I'm smart. I'm capable. I can figure things out. And by God, for years, I was on the hunt to figure this thing out and get it under control. So when the members came into his room, they grinned, ha-ha. They didn't grin from the ha-ha, yeah, we told you so. They grinned because they knew they had a fish on, an addict who at this moment was primed and ready to be cooked. When I talk with a desperate newcomer, I usually don't feel like grinning. I usually hurt, and it reminds me deeply of the pain, the horror, in the endless, sad, lonely cycle that I used to be in. And I know in those moments, with that newcomer, that I must work quickly and pound home the idea with heaps of my own compulsive overeating stories and evidence of the hopeless condition. So at least for that moment right then, when there's a desperation in the air that the newcomer might grasp onto that hope and be willing to begin to go to any length to take the actions outlined in this book. Looking back for myself, I realized I never fully knew what it meant to be licked. I would tell sponsors in the moments of desperation, yeah, I'm done. I want what you have. I want what people on the line have. And then we would begin. But when hard life moments hit me and my skin was crawling with anxiety and the cravings were off the scale, and you all know what I'm talking about, I found a reason to take a bite. Because early on in program, I wasn't going to any length, taking the actions necessary to ensure the guard was set against the disease. We have to ensure each day that the guard is set. And what is that guard? It's a walk with God. It's a walk of service. And back then, because I wasn't ensuring that guard was set, I needed that bite. I absolutely had to take that bite. I had no choice. I just need it this time. I got to get through the day. I can get back to recovery tomorrow. And all my common sense went out the window, and I forgot what had been done. Sure, I remembered some of the horror, but I was willing to take the bite. I was willing to go to any length to take that bite, and I went to some great lengths to get my shit. If the last flicker of hope is snuffed out that we can do the job ourselves, what then does a controlling person do who could usually figure it out all on her own? Well, it's going to tell us about that in the next paragraph, but I can tell you my true journey towards recovery started when I realized I had to surrender my life to God. I was baffled as how to do that, but I kept trying. I had several more relapses trying to do it, but then I had my first, my real step one moment, my true step one experience where I walked away from that perfect overeater storm, which I've talked about before, and God graced me with the true beginning of my surrender. Because you know what the truth is? We can't move forward into the gifts of this program until we know to the deepest core of our bones that we cannot, and more importantly, that we will not take that first bite. This is what I feel Fred has come to realize in these last two paragraphs. You know, I feel God gives us all
time.
Yeah, I'll finish up. He gives us something. He gave me this disease so I would turn to him and surrender and live a life beyond my wildest dreams with you and others and be of service, because that's the greatest form of praise to God is service. Get on this train if you're out there. It's worth it. Love you all.
Thank you, Christina J. Penny LC, please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy, and good morning to everyone on the line. And Kathy, thank you for your service. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And as I read this paragraph, I put myself in Fred's shoes, and I remember thinking, I would not want somebody smiling even, and I would see it as a sneer, almost a grin. You know, the word grin he uses here is not the same thing. to just be lighthearted, he's seeing it as, oh brother, they're here to pin me down. And pin him down they did, but I needed to be pinned down. I needed to be told my truth that I was ignoring so strongly. And I needed to hear the heaps of evidence. I needed to know that others understood the way I thought and the way I ate, and that I would allow myself to be convinced that it was a hopeless condition, that it wasn't just a matter of trying once more, and that I could look squarely at the truth of my behaviors, knowing that those were not normal behaviors. You know, it's not normal to be binging and making yourself sick. It's not normal to eat the foods I ate, which, you know, could have been frozen, burnt, stale, you know, too hot to eat, but I'd eat it anyway and burn my mouth. All the insanity. But the great news is that what we get to do for each other is, when one alcoholic plants in the mind of another alcoholic, he will never be the same. Basically, you know, for us as compulsive overeaters, when we hear others share, it so is able to be that difference. You know, if we hear it from a professional, it sounds like blah, blah, blah. When we hear it from another compulsive overeater who gets it, who's walked the walk, it takes hold. And that's, I am so grateful that it took hold for me and that it brought me through the hell of my disease and gave me a new way of life. And thank you, God, for guiding me to these 12 steps. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC. Mo H., please share with us.
Yes. Good morning, Kathy, and thank you for your service and all those giving service this Friday, first Friday of the month. And my name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater, sugar addict. Tomorrow, March 6th, will be 5 years that I have had sanity in my life and serenity around the food. And I can't believe that it's 5 years, because a lot has gone on in my life in 5 years that would have led me right to the food. And so I can really identify in with this. I didn't have anybody come to my home. I don't remember anyone laughing at me, but the lady I called asked me two questions. When I told her I couldn't stop after another relapse, and she said, are you desperate and are you willing to go to any lengths? And there are two questions asked here. If I thought myself an alcoholic, which means I have the physical allergy and the mental obsession, and was I licked this time? Am I done yet? I ask my new sponsees, are you done yet? Are you willing to give up control? And so he conceded to that proposition. And until I conceded to that proposition, I was doomed to go back into the food when something heavy hit me. And I've had a lot of that this past year. So the other thing that I wanted to say is the alcoholic mind. You know, for a long time when I was, you know, going to meetings and thought I was doing the program because I was weighing and measuring my food and following the food plan, but I did not, maybe it wasn't shared at meetings, or, you know, I know we didn't study the big book, so I didn't get the mental obsession piece. I don't even remember it being talked about, you know, and I had to have many, many, many slips and relapses, and the big book doesn't say those words. What it says is I succumb to the disease. When I pick up, I'm giving in. I'm pushing God away, and I'm giving in. And what's going on for me now is every time I am disturbed, I do my 10 steps, and I connect with God. God is my saving grace through everything, and there are many things I can't do right now. I don't understand, especially taxes, my first time in my life doing them, but God is guiding me through, like this program, one step at a time. And so I think that's all I have to say. Thank you, Kathy. I'll pass.
Thank you, Mo H. And let's see, Peg G, please share with us. Press star one.
Yes, can you? Thank you. I'm sorry. I just would like to speak a moment and thank you. Thank you for what you're doing and everyone for the shares and everyone who's here. And actually, that's what I'm going to speak about. That last line, this process snuffed out the last flicker of conviction that I could do the job myself. I think one of the great gifts of the program for me is the fellowship, these calls, and the process. And that, in one sense, it's a very gentle process, and it's invitational, and the members are kind and give witness to their own process. And the critical moment for me was the willingness to accept that I couldn't do the job myself, and the humility to know that I needed to be teachable. I needed to listen to people all on this call, all on Zoom calls, to get it, to really get it, to get the steps, to get the significance of the problem, not only the food, but the unmanageability of my life. So I thank you, every single one of you. Blessings to all. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Peg G. And Sherry KB, please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Thanks so much for your service, Kathy, and everybody on the line. And welcome, newcomers. I love what everybody's been sharing. What I'm going to jump into is I had to concede. You know, I love looking up words, and one of the things that it says in the Big Book Dictionary about concede is that, yes, I have to acknowledge it, although I often, it's against my will. That just really jumped out at me today because, you know, I'm the type of person, I don't like admitting complete defeat. I don't. I'm one of those people that was taught, you know, you don't give up, don't give in, you keep going. So, you know what, that was a big, big mistake for me in my program because I thought I could handle it. I thought I could do it. I thought. And God was nowhere to be found. And I just know that there's a certain words that if I hear it the way I need to hear it, it will really get in there. And so when it asked me, you know, am I really willing to admit that I am a compulsive overeater? Am I really willing to admit that I can't do this by myself? That, you know, am I really licked this time? Am I really going to quit? Am I done? Am I really done? You know, am I, you know, putting down, you know, putting down all the weapons that I use to try to do this by myself? And that's the problem, is that it's my self-will. It's amazing how I have let that run my life, and, you know, the best thing I could do is get my higher power to run my life, because I'll find my higher power in the steps. And I didn't realize I'm back on step three. Yeah, I'm doing the steps again, which I know how important it is to do because I'm learning so much about my ego and my pride and the defiance that I have and that, you know, my self-will is the voice of my disease and it's gotten in my way because I didn't want to acknowledge. Yeah, I would acknowledge that I was a compulsive overeater, but would I acknowledge that I needed God, that I really needed God to help me with this and I couldn't do it by myself? No, I was always thinking I could in the back of my mind. Somehow it was filed in the back of my mind. And I'm having an experience this time that I really get. God's got to be everything or God isn't. What's my choice to be? Do I still want to be in my self-will and run the Sherry Show and be miserable? Or do I want to take the easy way, have the spa treatment with God rather than being in a big mess all the time? So I'm really grateful for this paragraph. Thanks so much, and I pass.
Thanks, Sherry KB. Okay, I am happy to take some more names from people who have not shared in the last 2 days. Who would like to share?
Noelle E.
Don
E. from Kansas City.
Don E. Who else?
Mary G. from Arizona.
Mary G.
Robin P.
Robin P., and I heard one more.
Melinda.
Melinda. What's your last initial, Melinda? Okay, we'll get it when Melinda shares. Please go ahead, Noelle E.
Hi, this is Noelle E., grateful recovering compulsive overeater in Louisiana. Thank you, Kathy, and everybody for your service on this line. It is so transforming. I was moved by the paragraph, and it got me thinking of exactly a year ago, almost to the day, it was March 2nd, I heard an OA testimony, and someone was talking about their willingness or their bottom, and they said sometimes the best battle strategy is a masterful retreat. And I thought that that was the best way I could have heard it described. And a year later, what I know, or what I understand now, what God's brought into my understanding is sometimes the best, or not sometimes, the best battle strategy is a willing surrender. That means everything. And I didn't come to that on my own. Everything I have is good is because of God. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Noelle E. Don E., please share with us.
Good morning. this paragraph makes me very enthusiastic. Not in terms, well, to a certain extent, my experiences were extremely positive with my first meeting that I attended, and I want to address the importance of what this paragraph means to me, and I'll get about halfway through what I wanted to say, so I'm going to try and jump right in, and I'll talk pretty fast. The tradition, number 5, talks about our primary purpose of helping the compulsive overeater, as I understand it. And the 9th tradition, we can form committees or special council, that sort of thing. And step 1 is ultimately the true focus of inviting in the newcomer. Because their primary, when they first come to their first meeting and they want to know about us, the shares that we give, it's so important, the positiveness that we give back in terms of what the program is doing for us. And those who have had a significant abstinence and weight loss, I love it when they give that, because that's the message of hope, whether or not they've come to understand that they really are hopeless. I think the first meeting, people come because they're curious. They've probably tried a number of ways to lose weight, but they've never come to the point where they're willing to share and give intimate details of their struggles and the things that they've done. Jumping to the first sentence or the part about the grinning, it's so important that the people that they come in contact with, which is the entire group, or whether it's somebody that's welcoming specifically their job, like we do at the end of the meeting, it's really their goal to pique the interest, encourage, and get them to come back to that second meeting. That said, special people we used to have breaks in our meetings that were about 10 minutes long. And during that time, that's when they would ask for volunteers to sit down. I'm sorry. That's all I got to say about that. I'm Don in Kansas City, and that's 816-776-9704. I was a salesman for 40 years. I know you're thinking cars and attorneys, but if you'd like to counsel with me about the process of reaching the goal, of course, we're selling. Whether we know that or not, we're actually selling, and our goal is, of course, conversion of people to the 12-step program and OA. And I'll close with one thing. The difference between rape and lovemaking, salesmanship. With that, I close. Sorry, I ran over.
Thank you, Don E. Mary G., please share with us.
Hi, this is Mary G. from Arizona, gratefully recovered today. When I read this paragraph, it just really struck out to me that the hopeless condition, you know, that he had exhibited a hopeless condition. I was in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous for 17 years before I got to the point of such desperation and such hopelessness that I could actually admit or concede that I had a hopeless condition. I had to put down the food before I could understand the alcoholic mentality. I didn't understand the concept of a food fog or the lie of the disease, how my disease always manifests as in a lie. You know, the lie that, you know, this time it won't hurt. This time I can do better. I heard that I had to work the steps. I didn't know what that meant, but I also didn't ask anyone because I really didn't want to do any work. I wanted to be able to figure out how to be normal and leave. That's really what I wanted. I never planned to be here the rest of my life, which I hope today I am. It was only when I put down the food and I started to look at my thinking as being so sick that I realized that, yes, I do have a hopeless condition. And for me, pages 30 and 31 were the pages that I had to read over and over and over again, that I had to concede that I was not like other people, that I could never be a normal eater, that I could never just take one and be satisfied, and that it was hopeless, it was progressive. And, I'm just amazed at Fred that he could do this so quickly and come to this conviction that he had this in such a short time. It looked like it might have been maybe a month or two, maybe a couple of weeks, who knows. But for me, it took years. And so I would just encourage anyone was a chronic relapser, to stay in there, to hang in there. And eventually, you know, there's going to come that day where you are done, where you say, okay, I am so hopeless. I need help. Help me. And at that point, you're teachable. At that point, you're open. And your higher power can do amazing things. Stay for the miracle. Thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Mary G. Robin P., please share with us.
Thanks so much. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, everyone, for your service. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Vero Beach, Florida. And, you know, this is such a blessing. Looking at this, it's such a blessed step one. You know, I just remember when I was in so much pain and other people were recovered, and I thought they just didn't get how I was different. That terminal uniqueness, you know, and they grinned, which I didn't like so much. And it was like feeling like, oh, they're not understanding my pain. You know, it's just that they were on the other side. And, you know, the goal is this process snuffed out the last sticker of conviction that I could do the job myself. That's the blessing. That's the miracle of step one. That's what everyone waits for, you know. When my sponsor took me on, you know, my first sponsor, she said, are you willing to go to any lengths to recover? You know, and I asked that of people I sponsor, you know, and that's the, and if they're not ready, then just, I just say, pray to his bottom. And so I feel like this is such a blessing. He's the glory of hitting bottom. I just wanted to also say, because I think that's a miracle. Like, that's the miracle that everyone waits for or prays for. It's just the bottom so we can get on with recovery and keep going forward and then help other people with their recovery and be a blessing to God and our fellows. I wanted to thank everyone for your prayers. I know last week I was, you know, really, my husband was having surgery at Mayo Clinic, and he's in recovery. He's doing really well. Thank God. I felt the power of prayer. I felt the power of prayer through this whole thing and the we. And not, you know, I always remember that illness begins with I and wellness begins with we. And I felt so much we this week. And I literally felt carried on prayers. And so thank you all so much. God bless everybody with a very blessed, abstinent day and weekend. And thank you. I'm so grateful I got to share.
Thank you, Robin P. And I'm glad to hear your husband is better. Melinda, you will be our last share for today. Would you please give us your last initial? Thank you. Melinda, press star one to unmute. Okay, I don't hear Melinda. So is there someone else who would like to take a two-minute share?
Hi, Kathy. I will take that. This is Joanne L.
Okay, great, Joanne. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much, everyone. You know, such great shares, like everybody's been saying. And I really can't say that much different. Oh, and by the way, I'm Joanne L. from Rhode Island, covered in Rhode Island. You know, but I can just tell my story. And my story is I've actually have gone to people's houses in their kitchen, you know, and had serious talks, you know, about this. And about this program and about, you know, getting well and getting recovered and putting down the food. And I have to tell you, so many years went by, years, months, days. I just would not put down the food. I didn't even want to commit my food to anyone because you know why? If I did, then that means that I would have had to stick to the program. And I didn't want to do that, so that's why I didn't want to commit my food. That's called insanity. And but, you know, I didn't know what I didn't know when I first came in, but I've been here long enough, and I've heard so many things. But I just want to say, you know, that this this particular piece is about the thinking. You know, thinking that I'm like other people. I will never, ever, ever be like other people. I can't be like my sisters, my brothers, you know, my friends. I can't have what they have. I understand that today. But the most important thing for me is having a higher power to depend on. You know, I love God. I just love him so much. And I've seen what he has done for me. And last August, I reached out on the phone to on a vision for you like I'm doing today, and I said how desperate I was, and I said I can't go on anymore. I said I just have had enough. Enough is enough. And a person did reach out to me. She knew me from a convention from a couple of years ago in New Jersey, and she reached out to me, and I couldn't believe it because I even had her name and her number in my phone. And so she helped me, and she helped me to get back on track again. And I'm just so happy, you know, to be in the place that I am today. It's about time. So if you're new, just keep coming, you know, and just yell out for help. That's what I did. I just asked for help. So thank you. Thanks, Kathy. I pass.
Thanks so much, Joanne L., and thank you to everyone who has shared today. What a wonderful meeting. We are now going to get ready to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, and then we'll say the Serenity Prayer. Sherry KB, would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, this is Sherry KB, Grateful Recovered Compulsive Overeater, Northern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.